But such regrets wouldn't solve their problem now. The bats had them trapped, and they were running out of time. Michaela looked once more out the window.
They're circling, but not coming after us.
They're not stupid. They know that they've got us cornered. They also know that they're too big to get into these buildings and worm us out that way. I figure they'll just circle and wait until we have to come out. They don't need us for food, so they're not in any hurry. And let's face it, we've got more reason to move than they have.
Michaela cast a glance over her shoulder to where JB lay in the corner.
So they'll just wait until we have to come out? Then rip the shit out of us in the open?
That's about the size of it. The onus is on us to move, and they're a whole lot bigger and more powerful than we are. They're also really pissed at us for encroaching on their territory. So unless we can do something to either wipe them out or drive them away, then we're screwed and John's bought the farm.
Michaela indicated the row of concrete buildings that was visible through a break in the towers.
The damn thing is, that's where we've got to go. Only about 5-10 minutes on foot at most.
Mildred zeroed in on the concrete structures and then took a long, hard look at JB, still and waxy on the stretcher.
Screw this. If we've got to go, we're going down fighting. Come over here.
She led the young healer to JB's gurney. Stowed beneath him were the bags in which he kept the companion's inventory, as well as his own weapons. Mildred hauled out the bags and spread them across the floor. She felt the weight of JB's Smith & Wesson M4000. A load of barbed metal flechettes through one of those muty bats could do a hell of a lot of damage, and that was just for starters.
You don't know anything about weapons, do you, child?
Michaela shook her head.
Then pay attention, because you're just about to have another crash course in all-out combat.
Mildred emptied the ordnance bags and went through JB's personal inventory. The M4000, which she had slung over her shoulder, was the most immediately useful of his weapons, but she also felt certain that his Uzi would be useful if they could get some in-close shots at the creatures. There was plenty of spare ammo for both, and also spares for all the companions. She carefully parceled it out. The armorer had a plentiful supply of Plasex, as well as detonators and fuses. She was a great believer in Plasex, but in this situation could think of nothing that would make it of practical use. Which left her with the grens. They were stun grens, gas grens, and frag grens. Mildred looked out of the window at where the giant bats were circling. Their nests were in one of the old skyscrapers. There was no way that she had enough explosive to bring it down, besides which, the backblast and wreckage would more than likely kill them in the attempt, and it was way too high to attack with the grens. It wasn't really the ideal ordnance with which to attack an enemy that could fly. The M4000 would be effective if she could get a clear shot at the bodies of the bats as they swooped. The Uzi likewise could do a lot of damage if it was used at a fairly close range, but the danger was in getting that close. As for the grens, if they could time it so that the thrown grens detonated in the air, then the gas and stun grens could do them some good. The frag grens would definitely take out the enemy, but at the risk of those standing beneath the point of impact. It wasn't going to be easy. Mildred gave Michaela that crash course in the blasters and the grens, and then outlined her tactics. They were simple of necessity, and they were also risky. But there was no other way of handling the situation. If they tried to wait it out, they were dead. If they didn't, then they could be ripped apart. It wasn't much of a choice. When Mildred had finished, Michaela was a deathly pale white. She was only too clear on the dangers, but knew they had no choice in the matter.
Are you ready?
No. But now is as good a time as any, I guess.
The two women gathered the grens in the ammo. Mildred gave the Uzi to Michaela, figuring that it would be easier for the inexperienced girl to handle than the M4000, which had a greater recoil. They packed the spare ordnance on their bodies and stowed the rest of the armament back under the armorer. Then, laden down with their combat supplies, they picked up the gurney and went back to the ground floor, leaving JB at the front of the ruined storefront. Mildred planted a gentle kiss on his forehead.
We'll be coming back for you, babe.
Mildred joined Michaela in the doorway of the store, and they looked up at the circling bats. Pausing to try to take count, it still seemed to be somewhere between 8 and 10. 4 or 5 to 1, not the greatest of odds. But they had the advantage of cover. Mildred pointed out the gaping entrances to the empty storefronts and told Michaela to use them whenever possible. The two women exchanged glances, and Mildred gave a curt nod. Three muties were directly overhead, circling in a complex pattern. The women had waited until they were at their highest point and moved out in opposite directions, running low and fast, keeping an eye on the skies above. Two of the three bats immediately broke off and made for the women. Mildred turned and stopped dead, raising the M4000 and sighting as the bat swooped lower. Sweat ran into her eyes, and she ignored the sting, just as she ignored the hammering of her heart. She waited as long as she dared, until she was sure that she could see the reflection of herself in the bug eyes of the mutie. The impact almost knocked Mildred from her feet as she sought to escape it. She also had her eye on the third mutie, which was following its stricken mate. Meanwhile, Michaela was finding things a little more difficult. The bat that had honed in on her turned in the air to achieve the right arc for its approach, and as she ran and fired, her inexperience with the Uzi meant that her first burst of fire went wide of the mark. The bat swooped lower, its claws extended, ready to pluck her off the ground. She was saved by the fact that she wasn't looking where she was going. Stumbling over rubble on the old sidewalk, she fell to her left, and the bat's claws skimmed against the shoulder of her jacket, ripping into it. The pain and fear cleared her mind of any anxiety, and the pure rush of adrenaline focused her completely as she rolled and came up firing. The aim was wild at first, but she hit the creature with a burst, the Uzi shells ripping into the creature's rear end as it tried to turn, making it lose all sense of direction and fly into the side of a concrete building. Michaela scrambled to her feet, ready to face anything these muties may throw at her. Mildred, on the other hand, was hoping that there wouldn't be much else. She was faced with a third bat, heading toward her at speed. She racked another shell into the chamber and fired. But this time the bat had learned from its companion and veered away from the shot.
Lord, help me!
The creature whirled and came back. This time she made no mistake. She waited until the bat was too close to veer away in time. The flechettes ripped the front of the creature into shreds of flesh and bone, and a spray of blood that splattered her in its full stinking glory. Mildred moved out of range and coughed. She cleared her eyes so that she could see where the next attack would come from. Michaela moved over to her.
Three down. Looks like they're using whatever brains they have.
She indicated with her Uzi to the distant tower. None of the muties had followed directly the three that had attacked them. They were circling, ready to make a move. Two of them moved away from the tower orbit and began to fly toward the two women.
Listen, I've got an idea. Come on!
She led Michaela back into the storefront and took one of the canvas bags containing ordnance from beneath the armorer's gurney. She emptied it and put a selection of gas, frag, and stun grenades inside. Leaving the bag open, she kept one frag grenade in her free hand.
Cover me when we get outside. If they're gonna take us two at a time, then they'll wear us down. But they just might have screwed themselves.
The women went out into the open as the bats approached, Mildred with the M4000 over her shoulder, holding the bag and the lone grenade. The women stuck together, making the bats head in one direction.
Wait till I break for it, then try to take out the one on the right.
Michaela nodded curtly. The bats honed in on them, and as they got so close that the women could almost smell them, Mildred suddenly took off, running along the sidewalk while keeping an eye on the mutie following her. It peeled off, and as it did, Michaela let rip with a burst of Uzi fire that tore into the other mutie, dropping it.
Come to Mama.
Mildred pulled the pin on the frag wrench and slipped it into the bag.
If this doesn't work, I love you, John.
As the bat's claws reached for her, she arced the bag so that it snagged on a claw and threw herself out of range, hitting the ground hard in a roll and coming up with the M4000 off her shoulder.
Drive the bastard back, but don't hit it!
She loosed a charge wide of the bat. Michaela also fired high and wide. The spooked bat flew back toward the tower.
Come on. Hurry, you bastard!
The bat reached the tower as Mildred counted. As she and Michaela watched, the creature seemed to disappear in a mist of gas, blood, and exploding flesh. The top of the tower crumbled with the impact and shockwave, and the sound that reached the woman a fraction of a second later was deafening.
Quick, inside!
Mildred hustled the shocked Michaela back into the storefront as the dust and rubble washed over the road. They took cover, trying to breathe through the clouds of dust that blew over them. They waited for the dust and noise to subside. Then Mildred stood and walked to the storefront, looking out into the distance.
I think we see the last of them.
Michaela joined her. She stared open-mouthed at the gap in the sky where the tower had stood. There was no sign of the bats.
Come on, we've wasted enough time.